All right. Well, hello, everyone. Let's get us going. I am Lizzie, and I'm going to see if we can get this going here. All right. So, first of all, I got to change my name, and then we got to start just a little bit early so that we can get stuff going. Good morning, Karen. Hi, everyone. We got the chat and the participants. And whenever, if Coach Ashley is here, if she doesn't mind raising her hand so I can promote her to panelists, that would be amazing. Oh, good morning. Look at everybody's here. This is so great. Okay. And we've got somebody raising, Susan's raising her hand. Right. Great. Okay. I am so excited to be here and so grateful for this opportunity. Hi, I am Coach Lizzie, and this is my first ever live Zoom call. This is so exciting. Gang, I feel like Corinne has given me the keys to the Ferrari. And it's just like, what do you say? We take it out for a spin. And I say that on purpose because you know what? You are the Ferrari. You are the special. You are the treasure. It is such a gift and such a treasure and a chance to get to be here. You are so special. So I'm so grateful to be here. Whenever we get a chance for Coach Ashley to raise her hand, that'd be amazing. She'll be there in the chat with you. And today's coaching is all about assessing and making our monthly assessments, monthly planning and assessing. And as we're kind of getting ready to go here, I just had a little bit that I wanted to chat about. This is open coaching, so if you want some open coaching, I can raise you up as a panelist and we can talk. But as we're kind of getting going, I wanted to tell you a little story, and it does come back to the idea of assessing. My husband and I are former teachers. I was a former middle school science teacher. He was a former high school math teacher. So we've got a little bit of like teachingness in the family. And our son, bless his heart, is 17 this Friday. When the heck did that happen? Whew. And so he is going to be, there we go. There's Coach Ashley, promote to panelists. So he's 17 and he is a junior in high school. And so that means that he's kind of raised to the point of like his natural level of intelligence is not enough to kind of get him where he needs to keep going. He's going to have some legit study skills at this point. And it's kind of been a little bit of a splash of water in the face. And so what we've been doing is we're trying to help him as he studies. And because he's been coming home with like a 68, 69 on his test. So about 2 weeks ago, my husband goes into his room and says, how's the studying going? Our son's like, yeah, it's good. He's like, did you do any practice problems? And that in itself was an effort to get him to do some practice problems. And so our son said, yeah. And so my husband said, all right, show me one. And so he showed him a practice problem. And my husband was like, all right, I mean, it looks okay, but like, did you check the answer? Blank stare. And my husband was like, did you check to see if you got the answer right? And our son was like, no. I'm like, okay, this is what we do. When we are learning, we do the practice problem and then we go check the answer to see if you got it right. And if you didn't, no problem. It's an opportunity to learn and figure it out. And so they go to the answer key. Yeah, no, he did not get it right, which is fine. But like, had my husband not gone in there and talked to him, my son would have gone straight ahead and been like, yeah, I'm doing just fine. When he had no idea, he wasn't checking things kind of against the answer key. And that's sort of what assessments is like, is that we have this, opportunity to learn, but we're like, I'm not sure I want to look at that because it's, it feels sort of judgy. And that's understandable. We think of assessments and we look at where we didn't do right. I mean, let's be honest. I confess, middle school teacher here. So I created some props. This is pretty much what we think of ourselves when we look at our assessments, right? I mean, I'll be honest, I do the same thing. Sometimes when I first look at my assessments, I look at all the places where I failed. But that's not what this is about. Like when we take it back to the example of my son doing his physics problem, it's not about, it's not a judgment of his character. It's like, how do we help you learn and grow? And yet when it comes to weight loss, we make it mean so much about us as a person. And that's understandable. Like, weight loss is a very personal thing. But what if we could use assessments instead of as a judgment? What if it could be learning? What if it could be learning? Who here likes learning? Yeah. I mean, big nerd here. Give me an emoji if you like to learn. Maybe, yes, see, there we got some thumbs up, some hearts. Maybe you like to learn about gardening. Maybe you like to learn about travel and some cool places to see in Spain or, you know, Des Moines, Iowa. Maybe you like to learn about the characters of Game of Thrones. I mean, no judgment, big Marvel movie nerd here. Whatever it is, learning is fun, right? And yet, why can't we look at the assessment as learning? And what's amazing about learning is, like, there are things out there that are so unique and fascinating that they're really fun to learn about. And I would suggest that you are fascinating to learn about. This monthly assessment is like the study of you. And you are, just like when I said earlier, like, you know, Corinne gave me the keys to the Ferrari. You are the treasure. You are one of a kind. There's literally nobody else like you. You are fascinating. You're the Hope Diamond. And so what if we could look at our assessments as I am the Hope Diamond and I am so fascinating to learn about? Wouldn't that be crazy if we looked at that way? Now, I will say, this morning I was talking with John Acuff. Anybody, any John Acuff fans here? You know, give me an emoji if you are. You know, he and I were talking. Of course, you know, he was saying on his podcast and it was like a conversation, but in my mind, we were talking and he was talking about his soundtracks. And he said, you know, when the minute you learn something new, old soundtracks get loud. And so what they want to do is they want to put that judgment back together. And they're like, but no, you're learning something new, but no, I'm failing. And what if we could be like, no, it's cool. I'm just learning. We'll get there. Every time that old soundtrack wants to come back and say, I'm failing, what if I'm just learning? I'm the Hope Diamond. You are amazing. You are a miracle. You are just one of a kind. So for this hour, I would love it if we could just maybe suspend our judgment and bring in our curiosity, because we can find our worthiness inside and not in our assessment. This is a science experiment. Our worthiness is inside. Okay, so I'm a little bit of science, a little bit of nerdiness. That's me, as my good friend Jessie will tell you. She's here on this call. Shout out to Jessie, love you, girl. All right, we've got some people here for coaching. I'm so excited. All right, I got Sharon. I'm gonna promote you and we're gonna get our coaching on. Who's ready? I'm ready. Sharon, I can't wait to see you. We're bringing you up. Here we go. When you get a second, Sharon, if you could unmute and share your video. Hi.
Okay, this is more intimidating than I thought it would be.
Tell me about
not
it.
Not you.
We're all friends here. We're just like, you know, girls chatting around the coffee table.
Okay, so is there a specific topic or can I just ask my question or bring up the issue?
Bring up anything that's on your mind. Ideally, if we've got some questions about assessments, we'll go there. But if you got something else on your mind, fire away.
Well, it's looking at my assessments for the last 3 months. For the last 3 months, I've been playing around with the same 3 pounds. I've lost 38 pounds in no BS since April of 21. And I'm 5 pounds, today I'm now 8 pounds from my goal, but I'm in the 190s and my goal is to be at 190. So I noticed that when I look at my data, I'm using the digital planner and my stopping it enough has gone from 60% in July when I lost weight down to 46%, down to 30%. And I'm there again for October. And it's amazing to me how, first of all, seeing that data and tracking it every week and every day has helped. but there's something that's changed in my mindset and I don't know how to get it back. So if that's appropriate for this part of the call, great. And if not, you can tell me.
That is completely appropriate. Thank you for bringing it up, Sharon. And also thank you for bringing your data. That's a win in itself. So you've noticed that you're stopping at enough, was around 60%, and it's kind of been decreasing.
Yes.
Tell me more. What do you, I heard you say, you know, I kind of had the mindset and I lost it. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So, excuse me, I attended No Excuses Camp virtually in July and found that to be really helpful. The July data is probably some of the best that I've had. I lost 8 pounds that month. Wow. I didn't do anything crazy. I ate on plan. I eat my good, better, best. Most of my best options are just smaller amounts of foods I love. I haven't gone from, you know, tortillas to cardboard or anything like that. I eat food I like.
Right.
But the difference is I see that I was eating on plan and really being intentional about stopping it enough.
Okay.
And in August and September, and of course this month, things changed in life. My responsibilities, I'm a grandmother of four, and I help with transporting kids to and from school. I also am a consultant who works part-time. I'm a retired educator as well. So what you were talking about with learning resonated with me. And I do consulting with small schools and using their federal grants. Mm-hmm. And I'm traveling, and it feels like I'm in a vice. Oh, gosh, that's just interesting. I feel like I'm in a vice where I find myself not waiting for hunger. I find myself with more off-plan eats without a really good reason that I'm happy with.
Okay. Oh, now that I heard you say something there at the end. Not a really good reason that I'm happy with.
Right.
So our off-plan eats and our not stopping at enough have a reason. So it's totally okay to understand that there's a reason. And you don't necessarily have to judge whether it's I'm happy with this reason or not happy with this reason. Again, kind of going back to that curiosity, if you were able to, you know, think of perhaps the last time, a recent time you had an off-plan eat, can you give me an example?
Okay, let me think. It's going to be, I've been at a conference the last 3 days. And so I'm not always able to plan a specific meal like I do when I'm at home.
Sure.
Let's see. Well, on Monday, I had the opportunity to go out for, no, I had planned a meal. I had not done the grocery shopping. It was lunchtime. So instead, I did fast food for lunch.
Okay.
I had planned without going in to see what was available.
Okay. So you had fast food for lunch. That was an off-plan eat.
Yes.
If we were to get curious and look at what was the reason for the off-plan eat, and it's not a good reason, it's not a bad reason, it's not happy, sad, it's just, let's get curious. What can you learn about that lunchtime off-plan eat?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is if I don't do the pre-preparation, it's really hard to eat what I think I've planned to eat if I don't take the time to do the preparation ahead of time.
All right. That in itself, we're already learning. Look at us. We're scientists. So you said, if I don't pre-prep my plan, it's really hard to eat what I planned.
Right.
So that in itself is a good learning. You're kind of, we can identify patterns. So the assessment not only is great for like, was I on plan, was I off plan, but you can look at the kind of the global perspective and look for a pattern. So let's look a little deeper. And what pattern can you notice? Like, what was different about Monday?
I had a lot of appointments on my calendar that required me to leave home. It was a combination of picking up kids as well as picking up grandkids as well as Zoom meetings with my clients.
Yeah, that's a lot. Completely understandable that there was a lot going on. And so it perhaps was harder to make a plan. And therefore, when you don't have a plan and you're going here and there and you've got Zoom meetings, your energy is being consumed by appointments and things. And so your willpower is lower. So you have less kind of resources available to be like, it's lunchtime. Do I want to go buy a salad or do I want to go buy fast food? Mm-hmm. Your impulsive decision-making brain is kind of in charge in that moment. And so it completely makes sense that your brain said fast food is easy. And by the way, fast.
And I have to say one other thing. When I do my discovery worksheets and my journaling, there's an underlying thought that I've been aware of, and I'm not really sure what to do with it, but it's, this isn't fair. And I'm doing things that I have willingly taken on, but it's like when I get into that situation where I have multiple meetings and I have to be someplace at a certain time, then I start feeling on the inside, this isn't fair. It's too much.
So good. Thank you for sharing that, Sharon. So we've got a couple different layers of learning here. The first layer was, if I don't pre-prep, then it's hard to follow a plan. The next layer was, on days when I have lots of appointments or I'm driving around for pickup and I've got Zoom calls, I'm going to be a little bit more stressed. I'm going to have a little bit less energy to make a proactive long-term decision. So it's possible when I can look ahead at my calendar, if I see a lot of appointments, those are the days, almost like seatbelts. Like seatbelts are really, really important when you're going 70 miles an hour. But like if you're just driving 10 miles an hour around the neighborhood, you can go without it. Those days when you have lots of appointments, that's when your plan is like a seatbelt. It's almost more valuable because you have less resources available to make long-term decisions. But then a layer deeper, this is so good. You notice the thought, this is not fair. And you said, I've willingly taken these things on, but I get to this point of like, this is too much. Such a good revelation. So how about, you want to go through the four N's on that thought?
Sure.
Okay. So we noticed this isn't fair. Why would it be so normal that your brain would offer you that thought?
Because a lot of people tell me that because, so the, okay, now I'm going to struggle. I love doing the four N's. It is a normal thought because the other thought competing in my brain is, but wait, you're theoretically retired. I say in theory, because I don't know that educators ever retire. You're retired and you're supposed to be kicking back and relaxing and not doing anything.
Okay.
Now I have to tell you, I don't agree with that thought. That's, if I step back and look at it, that would be torture to not do anything, to have nothing to do.
But still,
but that's the normal. That's the
100%
the normal thought.
And just surfacing that is useful because a lot of times, like, disappointment happens when our expectations doesn't meet reality, and sometimes we're not even super honest with ourselves about what our expectations are. And so what you just did was you surfaced a little secret thought down and, you know, below of an expectation of like, I'm supposed to be retired. People who are retired are supposed to kick back and relax. Not that I would like that, but I'm not relaxed. And so it's so normal. So let's go to the next N, neutral. How can we neutralize this thought?
So I struggle with neutralizing this, but I think it was Coach MJ. So, is just to say, I have lots of things on my calendar.
Sure.
Or I have lots of responsibilities. Or no, take the lots out. I have responsibilities.
Yeah. We could even neutralize it even further and just say, on Monday, I have X appointment, Y appointment, Z appointment. I have picking up the kids at 3:30 and just like list it out. And you caught yourself there because like, I have lots of responsibilities. It's not not super neutral.
Right, right. Yeah. There's an adjective in there.
Yeah, great job. Great job. All right. And so then next best thought. What are you proactively choosing about your schedule?
I have to everything and I am everything that's in my schedule, I'm choosing to do. And so for me, the next best thought, I think, is to reframe my thinking around those things I'm doing.
I love it.
And so that would mean not listening to other people who say, oh my gosh, you're doing so much, you know, a little bit of judgment in their voice. And I think sometimes concern or not understanding why. I mean, my goodness, I have four grandchildren that I adore. And so I get to spend a few minutes with them every day, picking them up in a very different setting. So it's reframing that thinking about, is this costing me something or is this bringing me something that's important?
Amazing. I couldn't have said it better. It's that shift in the mindset from I have to go pick up the grandkids to I get to go pick up the grandkids. Mm-hmm. The action is the same, but you feel a lot different about it.
Yes. Yes.
And what a treasure that you get to spend that time. I mean, at this point in my kids' lives, like time in the car is just feels like the only time I get with them. So like
exactly.
It really is precious time. Yeah.
And as they're teenagers, that's sometimes the only time they'll talk to you because you're not looking at them dead on in the face.
Yeah, you do need to get them to put away their phone sometimes, which can be a challenge.
True.
Details.
Right.
So bringing it all back full circle here, Sharon, how amazing that you learned from your assessment sheet. First of all, that you've noticed your stopping at enough has decreased over the course of some months. And you've noticed that when you don't plan or you don't prep, it's harder to stay on track, easier to go for fast food. And if we look a little deeper, that might happen more frequently when you have a lot of appointments.
Yes.
So those are the days looking at patterns. You can learn from your assessment like, oh, those are the days that I really need to plan. I really need to do my future self a favor. I need to put on that seatbelt by having a plan. And also, so good. Underneath that, you realized I can change my mindset around my schedule and even perhaps around my plan. It's not that I have to plan. I get to plan.
Right, right.
I get to spend time with my grandkids in the car. I get to plan for a fast food day if necessary because we're busy and so forth. Or I get to plan to go to Wendy's and get the salad instead of the I was going to say the Big Mac. That's not at Wendy's. Anyway, whatever they have at Wendy's.
I know. Yeah.
Right. So amazing. Yeah. How's that sound?
Okay. This is really helpful. This is really helpful. So
great.
I feel like I have a plan moving forward. I still have one more trip coming up. I've had a lot of travel that some work related, some that I'm choosing, and I have a cruise that I'm going on Wednesday just for with my book club. But this is really helpful in terms of looking at how I'm planning for those things.
Amazing. Yeah. And first of all, have a great time on your cruise. You can always, there's a great replay on the vacation protocols from the summer. If Coach Ashley's able to snag it, if not, I'll put it in the notes of the replay.
Great.
There's always,
okay,
of course, the personal protocol spreadsheet that you,
yes,
can plan ahead for your cruise and say, what do I want to enjoy? A thing I tell,
right,
my private clients, by the way, I love private coaching. It's so great because everyone's unique. And so you get to really dig into like the unique stuff. But when my private clients are traveling, I say, okay, what do you think is going to be special? Like what's on that cruise that's special? Maybe it's the tiramisu. Maybe it's the, you know, the sea bass, the whatever, the amazing omelets. And what is going to be just sort of there? Like,
right,
you know, the next day or like when you get back from your cruise, you're going to be like, gosh, those peanuts that I grabbed off of the bar were just so amazing. I loved them. Probably not. Like, and those are the things that we don't even think about as we're just sort of swiping around, you know, and grab assing. But if you can think about it ahead of time, what's something that's going to be worth it? What's special? And what's going to be just eh? And so I can leave it.
Okay. That's great. Thank you. I appreciate that. I love the protocols. They've really helped me with other trips and vacations, just to have a frame of reference and remember what my focus is. So
terrific. Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank
you
time.
So much.
Thank you, Sharon. Thanks. This has been amazing. I appreciate you being my first live coaching. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. We got Katrina. I'm going to promote you. And I think we've got Cheryl D will be next. So Katrina is coming on up. Coach Ashley, I just want to give you a big shout out and thank you for all that you're doing there in the chat. You're amazing. So grateful to have Coach Ashley here with me today. As Katrina is coming up, let's check out the Q&A. Mary Ann is saying good morning. Hello, Mary Ann. I'm so glad you're here. All right. Hey, Katrina, how's it going?
I'm very good. How about you?
I am fantastic. What's on your mind today?
Okay. Put myself back off mute. Can you hear me? Okay.
I sure can.
So I've been a bit discouraged with my data. So I used to weekly assess and I haven't done this the past month. The data is there. I just don't want to fill it out. So I will do the monthly data. So a little backstory. So I've been with No BS since June of 2022. So I've spent this time adding foods back in, like good foods, foods I normally wouldn't have ate. So I feel like I've gotten rid of the, oh, I can't have that, it's bad food. So I've done that and I've pretty much maintained. So I think I'm down like maybe 2 or 3 pounds from where I started. So that's good that I've been able to normalize and add things in. So I know I can maintain. So now, you know, the goal is I would like to lose weight. Mm-hmm. But looking at my monthly data, like I do pretty well with all my stats. Like, I feel like my stats should say, hey, you should be losing weight. Like, I guess I'm comparing to like what other people are doing, which I shouldn't. But it's just something that I know that we normally do. So I kind of shifted my focus a little bit off of the data, knowing that, okay, well, I know I can make a plan. I know I can follow the plan most of the time. I know I can stop it enough. Now I'm kind of focusing on foods that make me feel good. And like, well, how do I feel when I'm eating these foods that I didn't normally eat before? Well, maybe not the best. So, but yeah, but I still want to keep up with the data. I know it's important, but so that's kind of where I'm at. And yeah, would like some help on that. And
amazing.
Your thought.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing that and for raising your hand to get coached. I'm curious, you said, I'm feeling a little discouraged with my data. I just want to make sure I understand. Are you discouraged with what your data is telling you? Or are you discouraged that you feel like your data is telling you good things, but the scale is not telling you what you want?
I guess, yeah, I'm more discouraged with the scale. Like, I feel like my data is pretty good. Like, from January, I have like an Excel sheet for my monthly data.
Okay.
That I've been keeping track of. It's like some months it's like, oh, well, the percentages were here. And this month I lost weight when my percentages were here, but this weight I either, you know, this month I gained a pound, you know, type of thing. So
okay.
If that makes sense.
Sure. Do you have anything specific available that we could talk about?
Sure. I guess what would you like to, yeah, what would be something to talk about or what?
Perhaps if you have any percentages from a recent month, like how often were you following your plan? How often were you stopping it enough? Let's just eyeball some numbers.
Okay. So yeah, let's look at September. So I went up 0.4. So yeah, I'm really good at maintaining. So my sleep was at 80%. So mm-hmm. If I'm short on sleep, it's usually by like 5 or 10 minutes of the 7 hours. I made my plan 100% of the time. I followed my plan 90% of the time. I assessed my plan 100% of the time. I stopped at enough at 76, which is a little bit lower than I normally am. It's usually around 80, 87. My water, I get 64 ounces easily every day. I kind of aim for 100 is where I try to be, between 80 and 100 if I can get more than that. I exercised 80% of the days of the month. So like I have that on lock. I enjoy it. I got the journaling done. Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at. So I'm like, well, these aren't bad numbers, but what do I have to go in and change? So that's kind of where I'm like, maybe I need to shift the focus on what I'm eating versus, you know, yeah, what my percentages are. That, yeah, I feel like a lot of this stuff is on lock. Now I'm just kind of like, what's next? What do I need to do to lose weight?
Okay, amazing. So you have a really good picture of what it takes for you to maintain. You know mm-hmm. that you can follow your plan 90% of the time. You can plan in those good foods and the good, better, best, and still be maintaining. You can stop it enough between 70 and 85% of the time. And you are pretty confident that you can maintain. This is mm-hmm. such good news, because all it takes is like a 1-2% tweak here or there to begin to allow the scale to change. And, you know, I heard a great analogy recently that it's like, sometimes it's like melting an ice cube. So we, you know, imagine you've got an ice cube in a room and the temperature in the room is, you know, ice melts at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. So the temperature in the room is 25 degrees. And so you raise the temperature 1 degree, nothing happens. Ice is still frozen. Raise the temperature 1 degree, nothing happens. Raise the temperature 1 degree, same thing. And you get to 31 degrees and you're like, I've been doing all these things. Now, are all of these things, the raising from 25 degrees to 31 degrees, nothing? No, they're a very important part of the process of that ice melting. You just don't see the ice melting yet. And then suddenly that 1 degree shift to 32 degrees, and now you've got change. And so I just want to use that analogy as like all the things you are doing are mattering. That's that turning up the temperature 1 degree, 1 degree. You're getting there. It is so making a difference. Everything counts. Everything helps. So for you specifically, Katrina, what feels like a 1% shift you could make to do an experiment, treat it lightly, and just like, let's tweak things and see what could happen?
I guess that's where I'm kind of starting with focusing on how foods make me feel.
Nice.
Okay. Versus, yeah. So maybe I think I can include those types of things, but maybe a little less, because, you know, maybe if I eat a half a cookie versus three cookies, I'll feel okay afterwards. But then, you know, if I eat the three and I'm miserable, you know, it doesn't make me feel good. So I shouldn't, you know, have it on my plan. So I don't know. That's kind of where I'm kind of thinking. I just got over my birthday. So it's like, we're good now. We had the day of foods that I normally wouldn't eat, didn't feel great afterwards. And then, you know, I spent the past like week, like, oh no, this is making me feel better now. I feel good. I feel like myself again, that I'm kind of having these foods. So thoughts on that?
Yes. Well, first, happy belated birthday. Thanks. Always worth celebrating you. And I so want to applaud your kind of looking at how does this food make me feel? I have a long history with pizza. Like I could snarf down half a pizza without taking a breath. And I remember one morning after quite a lot of pizza the night before and telling my husband, like, I think I need to break up with pizza. And he looked at me like, yeah, good luck with that. Katrina, it took me 6 years of doing exactly what you're doing, of like, how do I feel? Like pizza tastes so good, but how do I feel after? It took me 6 years of getting to a place where like, I'll have a little teeny side salad and then maybe three pieces of pizza. Maybe I'll have a little more salad first and then two pieces of pizza, and gradually shifting to like, how do I feel? How do I sleep after I eat stuff like that? Mm-hmm. And so you are giving yourself a gift of like making long-term change by making that change. Like, what do I genuinely want? So my only sort of coach's challenge to you is, how can you create some data to measure how food makes you feel? Like, let's be scientific about it. How can you track it versus just like, I feel good or not good? You know, what do you think? How could you design an experiment around this?
I like that. Do you think it would be beneficial for like every time after I eat to like, you know, put like a smiley or next to like my assessment? Is that
to tune in to like what feels like a 1% level up and what feels like a 10 to 15% level up? Mm-hmm. Because if I'm like, yeah, put a smiley face after every meal, that feels more like a 15% level up.
Yeah.
What if, you know, you decide, you know you best, but what if you decide that like when I eat the good foods versus better or best, that's when I'm going to really pay attention. And, you know, maybe you have like a smiley face, a neutral face, and a sad face. You could give it a number. You know, 1 to 5. 5 is I feel amazing. 1 is I feel awful. You can describe how you want to do it. If you're feeling like, you know, just when I eat the good foods is kind of not enough data, I want to get more, again, you determine as soon as you begin to feel like this is a lot, dial it back, like make it easy on you. But do yourself the favor of like actually collecting data and say, actually, genuinely, how do I feel? Is there a difference between a half a cookie and a full cookie? Is there a difference between 3 cookies and 4 cookies and how I feel? Things like that.
I like that. That's much more doable, just focusing on the good foods versus everything else. Cause yeah, that would have been a lot. So awesome. Cool. Thank you.
Amazing. You're so welcome. And I mean, again, you have great news because you know what it takes to maintain. And so that means you're so close. You're just from 31 degrees to 32 degrees right there in terms of like, getting ready to lose weight.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're so welcome. All right. And also, you know, let us know how your experiment goes. Like send me a note on Facebook or give me a shout out and we'll take it from there.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you too. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, great. We had somebody else who had raised their hand, but I don't see any more. So if you would like some coaching, fire away, please raise your hand. I would love to have you come chat with me. As we're waiting for anyone to raise their hand, I'd love to tell you about a conversation I had with one of my private clients this week. So shout out to my private client. She'll know who she is. She's a surgeon and she had an off plan eat this past week, where, it was lunchtime and, you know, she said like, you know, I was busy and I just looked up and suddenly my bowl was empty. And she said, I should have treated that like, the operating room. And I was like, what? Wait, what do you mean? And she said, well, in medical school, we're taught to train and expect uncertainty. And so we plan for it and we know how to kind of adapt and pivot when uncertainty happens. Like, you know, you could be having a normal day and there's a mass trauma, you know, a whole bunch of kids come in from a school bus accident or so forth. And I was like, so what's your process? How do you plan for uncertainty? What do you do? And of course, because I'm a super weight loss nerdy dork, I'm like, this completely applies to weight loss and how we can make our plans. And she said, well, they teach us that expect uncertainty. And when that happens, like stay calm. And so you first have the uncertainty available. And then next thing you know is you pause and assess. So uncertainty has happened. The next thing you do is you pause. Then you assess, what resources do I have available? What do I need to shift? And then the third step is to pivot. And I was thinking, this is so brilliant because this is exactly what you could take the exact same steps as when you have an off plan eat in the middle of the day. It's that because so often we think of an off plan eat as just, oh, well, I blew the whole day. It's wrecked, it's ruined, might as well. And what if an off plan eat is just like my client in the operating room is like, doesn't mean the whole day is wrecked. It means it's time to pivot. And this is a great opportunity to pause. I had an off plan eat at lunch. Okay. Pause my plan. Now it's time for me to go back to my plan and look, what do I have going on the rest of the day? How can I replan, you know, from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. so that I can, you know, make the rest of my day a little bit more doable rather than just say, screw it, rest of the day is gone. So take a step a note from my private client's notebook. Be like a surgeon. When you have an off plan eat in the middle of the day, pause, assess the rest of the day, and replan for those couple of hours the rest of the day. So an off-plan eat is not the end of the world. Okay, Lee, thank you so much for raising your hand. Welcome. Hi.
Hi. Well, when I was deciding to raise my hand, it had everything to do with what you just said. It's really funny how that happens.
Amazing.
I have a lot. I'm pretty new. I've been here for right at a month and I have re-lost what I had gained from my 25 pounds I had lost before I joined. I had regained about 3 or 4 pounds and I've re-lost that since I joined. Mm-hmm. But I seem to have lots and lots of off-plan eats.
Okay.
And I don't, I think a lot of it is lack of planning for prepping, like the first caller said.
Right.
If I don't prepare and I don't go to the grocery store when I should, and I don't cut up vegetables and things like that for a salad ahead of time, I end up going to, I don't go fast food, but I tend to go out for lunch from work.
Okay.
I thought I was good at figuring out when I was full, but I don't think that's the same as it being enough.
Okay.
But my planning is I write it all down, and then about half of it is something different.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
and
first
I
of
do
all,
assess it at the end of the day or the next morning, just right next to it where it says what you did and what you actually did as opposed to what you planned. But I haven't done one of the assessments yet or the monthly thing.
Gotcha. So first of all, Lee, it's so awesome that you're here, that you're doing a plan, that you're getting curious about it. So just want to give you that win right there already. You are already winning. My next question is, when you make a plan and then you say, what did I actually do? What's your talk in your mind like?
Oh, it's terrible.
Okay. It's
like, I get out the whip and say, what are you thinking?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of red marks on the paper.
Exactly. Yes. And first of all, like, that's so normal. But, you know, we just like, you know, when John Acuff and I were having our conversation this morning, like when you're trying to do something different, old soundtracks get louder. So very normal. What if though, like I have taught myself to look forward to off-plan eats because I'm like, oh, there's something to learn here. This is great. Now, believe me, just like pizza, it took me a while to get to that mindset. So it can take some time, but I encourage you to just shift towards, what if when I have an off-plan eat, I'm expecting, first of all, my brain to say, what were you thinking? And be judgmental. And then what if that next thought can be, but there's something to learn here. Let's get curious. Lee, how would you feel about us perhaps going over a specific example? You want to try that?
They're downstairs, but I'll try to remember.
Okay. We can also make one up.
Well, the past 3 days, I planned having steamed shrimp for supper.
Okay.
They didn't unthaw in the refrigerator, in the part of the refrigerator where they were. They stayed completely frozen.
No, darn the refrigerator.
And it's not like it's a bag of shrimp from the store. This is shrimp we froze, so it's in water.
Okay.
We bought fresh from the beach and brought it home and froze it, so it's in water, so it's like a solid piece. So it's really hard to unthaw. And so I ended up eating leftovers. And the one night, because that was choir practice, so it was 9 o'clock at night and I was starving to death. And then for supper last night, it was supposed to be shrimp again, and it wasn't because it was still frozen. It's in the part of the refrigerator that's freezing things.
Okay.
And so I ended up making gluten-free pasta and putting some of this sauce on it that my husband had made. He'd made himself spaghetti the night before that,
okay,
but not me because I was at choir practice. Anyway, he put these really, really, really spicy meatballs in there. So the only protein in there was those meatballs. And I tried to eat one and it didn't work out.
I get it.
So then I picked the rest out that I had cut up.
Okay.
And this morning when I woke up, I'm starving.
Okay. Okay. Amazing. Great example.
And I'm also hypoglycemic. So it's hard to, without the protein.
Sure.
And I didn't go get anything else. I was just like, well, I'll put some cheese on it and that's enough. I just
okay.
Couldn't deal with any more.
Gotcha. So, like level one, level assessing, and I do say, like, just the fact that just assessing is still a win. But kind of level one is I planned shrimp, I ate pasta. Or what was the night, the first night when you were starving at choir practice?
I had leftovers.
Leftovers. Perfect. Okay.
I ate gluten-free pretzels with goat cheese that I had put
Gotcha.
sun-dried tomatoes that I made last summer in.
Okay. So the strict neutral data is I planned shrimp and I had leftovers, or night number two, I planned shrimp, but I had pasta. So that's level one planning, or excuse me, assessing. And it's totally normal for that voice to come in and be like, oh, judgment. It's okay. But if we could get curious about
Right.
this, what patterns can you identify in this scenario?
What now? What
What patterns might you notice going on in this scenario?
patterns? Sorry,
Yeah.
I didn't get the part.
Sure.
What patterns? Well, a good pattern is that my pivot is usually good food. I don't go from I was going to have steamed shrimp and then I eat chocolate.
Okay. That's a positive shift. Level up.
Do what?
I was just acknowledging
Say that
your
again. I'm
shift.
sorry.
I think we might have a little bit of a delay.
Oh, good level up. That's what you said. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My phone keeps beeping. What do I notice in patterns? I
Do you want to
notice
brainstorm some ideas together?
that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Yeah, I like to brainstorm.
it's possible that so you notice that the shrimp didn't thaw 2 nights in a row. So that's an opportunity to learn. Like maybe you could plan shrimp for 3 nights from now instead of tonight, if it takes that long to thaw. Maybe you could put it in a different part of the fridge so it thaws a little bit faster. That's an opportunity.
I could do it myself instead of let my husband do it.
There you go. There's an
I would have put it in a
opportunity.
different place.
Yeah. I also noticed you mentioned choir practice. It was 9 o'clock at
Yeah.
night and you were starving. And so there's potentially a pattern. I'm guessing choir practice probably happens on a semi-regular basis. And so
That's
maybe,
every week. Yeah,
yeah.
it's a that part is definitely a planning problem because I go straight from work at 6:20, drive to choir practice, eat in my car, and get out and go to practice at 7
Okay. May I
once a
offer
week.
you a suggestion? So I heard you say that choir practice is a planning problem. What if we look at it as a planning challenge? It's an opportunity. It's a puzzle to solve because our words matter and our subconscious mind is listening. So if you could, just explore a couple of ideas at solving the puzzle of choir practice once a week, what ideas come to mind?
I've got to, or not got to, I want to, I want to pack my supper just like I pack my lunch on choir practice day.
Wow. That sounds like an amazing idea. Next question.
That
How
idea
doable is that?
involves getting up earlier.
Okay.
So I need to set the alarm for earlier so I have more time in the morning or do it at night, which I doubt I'll ever do. I've tried that for years and it doesn't work.
Okay.
I always pack my kids' lunches in the morning. I don't do. I don't tend to do stuff for the next day at night.
Sure. Well, that's a very good, there's a pattern that's good to know about yourself. So, you talked about needing to get up earlier. And so when we think about the option, we're just brainstorming here, the option of packing your supper on choir nights, does getting up earlier feel doable and like 1% level up, or should we look for another brainstorm idea to kind of solve for dinner on choir nights?
Well, instead of saying I'm going to get up an hour earlier, if I get up 15 minutes earlier, that's 1%, right? Instead of saying an hour earlier, and that's like 15%.
That's a good point. Yeah. So let's take that, you know, getting up maybe 15 minutes earlier on choir days to prepare dinner is an option to experiment right. with. Again, everything's an experiment. If you try it and you snooze your alarm 5 times, that's data, positive data, because it's teaching you something about your experiment that maybe getting up earlier, not as easy as you thought. That's really useful. It's not a judgment. It's not a character flaw. It's just, let's tweak our experiment a little bit more. So you can try getting up earlier. Another option could be maybe plan in a snack mm-hmm. that you bring with you, or maybe add a little bit extra to lunch, or maybe choir nights are just nights that you plan to go through the drive-thru. But maybe you, instead of, you know, you could good, better, best the drive-through. There's lots of different options that you can experiment with.
I have a lot of trouble with drive-throughs because they're all gluten laden.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. that's kind of not a really good option for me.
Sure. Makes sense.
Chick-fil-A is always a line out the door. So that takes too long.
Right.
And that's the only, there's a sub place that's quick that has gluten-free buns. That would be, I've done yeah. that sometimes.
Okay. So we've got three different
so
ideas.
So I just have to write, maybe if I write myself a list of all the options and pick sure. one each week.
Oh, Lee, I love that idea. Look at you with your experimental mindset. So we've got, I could get up earlier on choir days. I could plan a snack for the evenings and choir days. I could try a Chick-fil-A or that sub place that's got a good gluten-free option. Got another idea. You could plan, I forget what night choir is, but let's just assume it's Monday night. You could plan for whatever Sunday night's meal is. You could plan for leftovers and bring that with you. This is like the second serving of Sunday night's dinner comes with you Monday night to choir. That's an experiment that you could try.
Depends on what it is, but yeah, that is an option. I've yeah. eaten in the car, remember, in a parking okay. deck.
Eaten in the car, sure. So you know what else could frozen. Be an interesting idea is you could send a message to the Facebook group and say, hey team, I'm looking for some ideas for how I can plan ahead for choir nights. What, you know, here's what I've tried, what else? And just like you said, you can make a list, try one each week. See what works, see what doesn't. But the beauty of this is by doing an assessment and not giving yourself that big fat F, instead saying, I am like the Hope Diamond. I am fascinating to learn about. How can I get curious about me and the patterns of my life? You can recognize that I have a pattern that on choir nights, it's hard to plan. So what can I do about it? What do you think, Lee? What are your takeaways?
Yeah. Well, my brain just went to my gemologist self that says that hope diamonds are blue diamonds. So they're their most rare type of diamond and they are electrically conductive. So I'm being electrically conductive by going from the Facebook group to asking a question, to answering a question, to making a list, to picking something.
Look at you making those connections. That's fantastic. And you're a gemologist? Wow.
Yes.
That's so cool. Well, thank you for teaching me something. See, guys, I love to learn. We all are fascinating to learn about. And you are the most interesting subject of them all. Lee, is there anything else I can help you with while we're chatting?
I think that's all right now. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. I really appreciate you raising your hand. Thank you so much. All right. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, team, we got 7 minutes till the hour. How do you feel about one more person raising their hand? I got a wide open spot right now. Who wants to roll the dice? Anybody else? We could end the, you know, 7 minutes early, but I'm here. Ashley's here. I'd love to coach with you. I think I've exhausted all of my things that I was willing to talk about. So thankfully, Toki has saved the day and she has raised her hand. Toki and I have gotten a chance to speak a little bit on Facebook. Well, speak, message a little bit. And so I'm so excited to see you. Toki, thank you for raising your hand. I'm trying to promote you to panelist. Is it working? Oh, I hope it works. Is she coming? It disappeared. There she is. Yes. Can you, as we're waiting for Toki to come up, can you guys hear my cat? This cat is always on the wrong side of every door. Earlier in the meeting, she was in the room and I like had to message my husband on my phone, like, can you please get the cat out? And now she's on the outside of the door and wants to get back in. Huh, my goodness. All right, Toki, when you get a chance, can you please unmute and show your video? Ask you to unmute and ask you to start your video. Well, thank you, Amanda. I appreciate it. Thank you, Dawn. You guys are the best. Toki, hello. I'm so happy to meet you and see you.
Can you see me?
Yes, I can.
I can't see myself. Oh, there.
We just had a little bit of a light in the background. Hi, yeah. Welcome.
Well, thank you for taking me this morning. I was late getting on. I thought it said 8 o'clock, but I guess it was 7 my time.
Well, and like daylight savings is coming up next weekend and I don't even know if it's happening or not. It's confusing. Either way, we're here. I'm so delighted to see you. Yay. Big hearts. And we get to see each other face to face. We're going to see each other.
I know.
What's on your mind today?
Oh, I don't know. Just talking to you, I guess, is the best thing I could ask for today. Yeah. You made my whole day taking me. I didn't know you had any spots left. I figured, I'm not going to make it today. I'm not going to be able to be coached by Lizzie.
Well, so, thank you for being brave and raising your hand. How are assessments going for you lately?
Not too bad. Actually, I haven't been doing too many assessments, but I've been staying on my plan, what I eat. I've been focusing a lot on your book.
Oh, thank you.
Your book is so my miracle.
Thank you.
I don't know how I would do without it. It's just amazing. I'm sharing it with my son. Mm-hmm. My son got COVID really bad and we haven't really connected very well. I don't know. We just haven't. I don't know what, if I do something wrong. He always says, Mom, you're so always so nice. And I say, I try to be, you know, the best mom I can be. Mm-hmm. But what happened was he got so sick, he kept calling me and said, Mom, I need you. I need you. And I kept running every time he called. I took him to minor emergency. I took him to the hospital. We talked, we laughed. He goes, Mom, I'm dying. I said, you're not going to die, Vic. You're too tough to die. You can't do that to me. You can't leave me.
Yeah.
And I got your book and he is reading your book.
Wow. Well, I'm so honored. And the whole point of the book was to help you and anyone reading it to acknowledge that you are a miracle. And so thank you, Toki, for being you the miracle that you are and shining your light. And while we're on this call, is there anything regarding assessments that you want to talk about, or do you just want to share some love for everybody and tell everybody else that they are a miracle as well?
They are.
Yeah.
They are a miracle. We all are. As it doesn't matter what size you are or how mm-hmm. you look at yourself, we are all miracles. We are all miracles from God. And I hope that anyone that's in Zoom today picks up your book and really reads it. And I've been taking so many notes. I write down pages that I want to read and reread because it's so learning. It's such a learning experience for me to be able to go back and read. And I haven't been able to get into any of the podcasts. Your book has me so connected to everything in life that I wish I would have had 10 years ago.
Wow. Well, thank
I
you
don't
so
know where
much.
you were 10 years ago, but.
On my own journey, trust me. Well, Toki, I so appreciate that. And together you and I can share that message to everybody who's on this call. Just as I said at the beginning, that you, Toki, Ashley, everybody who's here, you are one of a kind. You literally, there is nothing, no one else like you. And then when there's only one of something, it's rare, it's unique, it's precious, it's valuable. You are valuable. And you can look to your assessments, not in a way of judgment, but in a way of curiosity to learn about the miracle of you. So this has just been such a joy. Toki, thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to say before we sign off?
Will I see you at camp?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'll be there. Got my plane ticket.
How do I find you? I'm like in a panic. How do I find you, Lizzie?
Well, we have a camp. So Think It, Ink It, Shrink It camps coming up November 10th and 11th in Nashville. And we've got a brand new thing. Coach Dina, our accountability diva, is hosting a kind of a meet and greet for new campers on Thursday night. We're super special. And as I mentioned to you, Toki, in Facebook, that it, assuming that I don't have other obligations that I need to do, I'm planning to come to that new meet and greet on Thursday evening. So if you come, I'll be there. And now I know what you look like, and you know what I look like. Of course, I'll have my nice no BS name tag. So we'll get to see each other and give you a great big hug, and we'll visit and just, feel so embraced by the No BS Sisterhood, because this truly is a special community team. And community is really what makes it so special, is that everyone is here is rooting for each other. And as women, we don't always get that in this world. So we're all so fortunate to be part of this No BS Sisterhood. Oh, great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Toki. Well, everyone, I am so grateful that you are here. Thank you for being with me today on my first live call. Thank you, Coach Ashley, for rocking it in the chat. Make sure you do your assessments. And when you do that, rip up that old F and look at it with curiosity. See how you can treat yourself like a science experiment. Be, how can I learn about this fascinating life of me? What is so interesting about, like, why did I emotionally eat the other night? Oh, I know, because my in-laws were over. How fascinating. I can look at a pattern. The next time my in-laws come over, I can plan for that. I can be aware of that. I can offer myself some self-compassion. I can put my hand on my heart and just say, I am okay. I am worthy and valuable exactly as I am. You all are great. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Thank you, and have a fantastic Saturday. All right, take care. Bye-bye.